Circle and the street medicine teams if there's an urgent concern that that happens, and they can coordinate with our office to make sure if there's bulky items or trash that we can get sanitation there right away. So I mean, basically, we don't necessarily know of another example of this. So it's one of the things that we do want to bring more broadly to our to all of our ABH sites, but we want to start here. So it is kind of a pilot. So as I said, that kind of request has been made to amend the contract. So Sarah Tanberg, our senior advisor, is kind of leading on that effort with them. And then, you know, just some updates for folks on how things are going there. We currently have 90 clients enrolled at the site. This is congregate, you know, shelter. 30 of those clients are, you know, they either have vouchers or they are eligible for permanent supportive housing. So, you know, we all know the time it takes, even when that step is taken, to get people into those locations, but that's a good sign of progress. And the last update I have is just that there have been some new tents, in the Hyperion underpass. So there were 6, and we have 4 of those folks moved in to interim housing. So, yeah, I think that's the update. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the update. And just a note to the councilwoman, I'm a CD4 resident, and you know, just I'm a council district representative. Shh, I'm in her district, fighting a cold. And just the work that she's and her team has been doing to remove those tent encampments, it's been noticeable. And so just, you know, I know it's hard work and challenging work, but thank you for the effort that the council office is doing to really address this in a very humane and thoughtful way. And one that, you know, is a balanced approach to both the residents and to our unhoused neighbors as well. So just a thank you to the councilwoman for her efforts.
Thank you, Board President. And we know how, you know, unique this is as a location, being on park land. And so we really appreciate the board and staff's help through this time, through this emergency, to have this place up and running and operating. So thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Mehmet, for coming and providing us an update. I'm going to go ahead and continue on. For emergency management, I just wanted to let the listening public, as well as the commission, know that the city of LA will be participating in the Great Shakeout today at 10:19 on 10:19. And so at 10:19, wherever you are, if you're at a safe place to do so, if you participate with us in drop covering and holding on in preparation for earthquake safety. A couple of highlights I just wanted to mention for special events and programming information. That information could be found on laparks.org, but I did want to highlight Halloween. This year, we'll be hosting more than 100 holiday-themed events and activities across all of our facilities for the communities to participate in. Make sure to visit our special events page on laparks.org for locations and times. A couple of updates, general updates. The George Wolfwood Park at Potrero Canyon won a 2023 Best Projects Award from the Engineering News Record ENR California region in the landscape and urban development category. This project is also automatically entered to be considered for the National Best of the Best Award that's going to be held in New York City next spring. So we want to thank our partners at the Bureau of Engineering and the Rec and Parks Planning, Construction, and Maintenance team for all your hard work and diligence on that project. I also wanted to mention that the Greek Theater has been named the Amphitheater of the Year for the 2023 International Entertainment Buyers Association, otherwise known as IEBA. It's the annual conference, and it was held this year in Nashville. The IEBA is one of the live entertainment industry's preeminent annual conferences, focusing on making connections between entertainment buyers, representing venues like the Greek Theater, and representatives from artists who intend to perform at venues this coming year. So I wanted to thank our partners over at SMG and the wonderful Rec and Park staff that maintain and operate the Greek Theater. And the final update that I would like to provide is that we did make an update on the locations of the following. So next meeting will be at the Michelle and Barack Obama's sports complex. That's November 2nd. But we did change the location of the December 16th meeting, which will be at El Sereno Rec Center, which was originally scheduled for Friendship Auditorium. That information can be found on laparks.org under the commission's page under the schedule of locations. And finally, I just wanted to mention that Rec and Park staff has been reaching out based on communications that we have received from the commission office to address concerns from our constituents. And that'll conclude my report back. And I did want to bring up Mr. David Armenta. He leads our Expo Park Teen Leadership Program. It's an amazing program that I knew about, but I had the pleasure of visiting the last time I was here. And so he's going to talk about what they have done and provide the commission a brief presentation.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David Armenta. I've been here at Expo since I was 16 years old. I was actually a participant at our Class Parks program, and I'm a big supporter of the program for the teens. And ever since that, I'm actually a full-time coordinator. I did a video to show you guys what we do here because we do so much here. So it's kind of hard for me to talk about it in 2 minutes. So I did a video to sum it up. The main program I want to highlight for you guys right now is off of the USC MESA program. We've actually created such a great robotic program that USC MESA has reached out to us to bring the program here at Expo. So we're actually the first site to bring that program to a rec and park. Usually we have that program inside of a high school, but our numbers are so good that I'll give you guys an example. Across the street, we have Manual Arts. They only have 2 participants in their USC MESA program. We just started it about 2 weeks ago and we have about 40. So I'm just gonna show you guys some highlights of the great programs that we do here.
My name is David Armenta, and I have had the privilege of being involved with Expo Team Programs since I was 16 years old. Hello, my name is David Armenta.
By the way, guys, I actually went to a pop. And if you recognize the voice, then.
Hello, my name is David Armenta, and I have had the privilege of being involved in the Expo Team program since I was 16 years old. Over the years, I transitioned from a program participant in 2006 to my current role as the program coordinator. At Expo, we serve over 200 teenagers each year. We offer programs such as Black Parks and Summer Camp, and unique programs such as Teen Leadership. This particular program equips teenagers with essential life skills, including job application, resume creation, interview preparation, and internship placement. This year, we made substantial strides in securing 25 internship opportunities for our teams. Thanks to a partnership with the National History Museum, 2 years ago, we initiated a robotic program, which has soared to new heights. This success has been made possible in part due to our collaboration with Angel City FC, who generously funded the program. This month, we even received a donation from LAFC to expand our program, and yes, that is Will Ferrell. As a result of my training by MedEd and Adobe, we've been able to introduce a wide range of innovative programs, including robotic workshops, virtual reality classes, and augmented reality courses. The programs we've established at Expo are instrumental in guiding our teenagers toward higher education and career paths. This past summer, USC provided us with a unique opportunity to take our teenagers to campus to work on building a robot capable of remote operation and monitoring. The success of this partnership was so significant that we extended it for an additional 2 years. Importantly, we're proud to announce that we are the first USC-based site that is not affiliated. And this partnership will soon result in credentials that enhance our teenagers' prospects of gaining admission to colleges through our Expo USC MESA program. In the current academic year, 4 of our Arkansas teenagers have been awarded scholarships to prestigious institutions such as USC, UCLA, and Mount St. Mary's. Our dedication to empowering teenagers through innovative programs and strategic partnerships remains unwavering. We are excited about the transformative impact we continue to make in the lives of these young individuals at ECMO.
Yes, I'll make sure to forward the video. The great thing is that USC MESA is actually working on giving us credentials, so we could actually say that the teens coming to our program is actually helping them get into college. So when they apply for any college on their application, they could actually put USC Expo as one of the sites, and it's going to give them actually extra points for them. So we're actually technically helping the kids out for college. I will talk about more, but I have a brain freeze right now. So. So is there any questions?
No, it's just great work. Thank you for everything that you do.
No, thank you guys. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, David, and all your hard work. I just did want to add on that, you know, the Expo Center has always been the incubator of a lot of our pilot programs. And so our intent is to incubate it here, pilot it, and then be able to take it out to other locations throughout the city as well, so they could benefit from the amazing things that they're doing at this center. So I just wanted to give kudos to the Expo staff and the innovative programs that you bring in. And that concludes the general manager update. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Appreciate the updates. Let's move on to Keisha to general public comment.
I will call the few constituents up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. Can I have Sherelle Caneo and Rebecca Beach?
Good morning. I'm Cheryl Cuneo. I live in Los Feliz. You know that it was worth the drive down here for that video, let me tell you. I have dogs. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, think that some of you also have dogs, cats, pets, maybe a horse or a pony at home. They are family. If my husband and I had to evacuate our house, we would grab the kid, the animals, guitars, and get the hell out of there. If you've had animals, you go through deaths. And it's devastating. Sorry. But not everybody who has an animal is a good pet owner, a good responsible pet owner. Not everybody who decides to rescue or adopt a pet knows how to be a good pet owner. The shelters are full of animals dumped for one reason or another. People adopt puppies, kittens, bunnies, and chicks because they're adorable, not realizing how to make a commitment. It goes without saying that those of us who want the pony rides back want excellent educational and visible care for the animals. But this is also an opportunity to educate other people on what it means to be a good, responsible guardian for your dog, cat, chicken, bunny, what have you. The Griffith Park Pony Rides could be a place where that could happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Hi again, Rebecca Beach, Los Feliz CD4. And I was here two meetings ago with my two grandchildren who would be major pony riders. And I just wanted to clarify, I didn't want to use my grandkids as props or anything. I literally had no choice because of various family members who could have watched them that were not available. And I think it was a really worthwhile thing for them to participate. We got to talk about voting in the future and that their voice matters. And it was a good experience. And then that was that. We didn't dwell on the pony rides. But I really felt the loss of the pony rides, having them with me for several weeks and not being able to go, because we took advantage of a lot of other things at Griffith Park, the trails. We went to the zoo and we went to the visitor center and looked at animals, wild animals that are in the park. And so I felt the loss. And then we also went to the Aquarium of the Pacific, and we went to a berry picking outside of the city. And there was a petting zoo there. It was fascinating to me how much my little grandkids loved being around animals. And after we went to the zoo, I asked my older one, I said, what was this one of your favorite things, or what'd you think of the zoo? And this was unscripted. This just came out of his mouth. He said, I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite because there were no animals you could touch. And he loved going to the aquarium and under careful supervision, putting two fingers on a jellyfish. It's a unique experience. You've never felt anything like it. And so we also, after just recently, went to the Autry Museum right down the road from where the pony rides were, and got to go to their 75th anniversary celebration. It was really wonderful. And they had a petting zoo. And
thank you for your time. Thank
let's
you.
Bring it back.
I have one more. Joy Bodgerman, I believe.
Thank you. I just want to voice my my thoughts on the horse situation. You know, Los Feliz was always an equestrian center. It's part of our history. And for having the ponies there, I mean, it's been there since, and I'm native LA since I was a kid, and I'm 70. And it's so important. And recently I had family visiting from a village in France, and the kids, we went to the pony rides, and they loved it. And they're from a village where there's horses and sheep and everything, but they were so ecstatic about it more than anything. And I was really touched by that. And, you know, having grown up in the area, and I had a horse as a kid, and, I didn't see any kind of distress of the horses with pacing, rubbing marks, you know, stomping, throwing their heads or anything like that. And I heard in the report there were some issues about maybe dental or hoof issues. We've all been to the dentist. We've all had teeth issues, and we've all had to see a doctor for something, a strain or whatever. So I think there's some realities that there's normal life that goes on here. And I just think it's really important that we look at the big picture. And I think it's essential that we kind of get back to the basics of nature and being around animals, which teach us how to be genteel and loving and kind and how to interact with them. And having a synthetic stuffy animal just doesn't work, or plastics, whatever to play on. It's not real. It just makes us more and more detached from our own humanity and from nature. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for general public comment.
Thank you, Takesha. At this moment, then, let's move to public comment from constituents regarding board agenda items.
I do not have any requests on board agenda item.
Fantastic. Seeing none, let's move to the board report, starting with item 181.
Good morning, Commissioners. Noel Williams, Chief Financial Officer. Recreation and Parks. Board Report 23-181 requests that the board approve an award of a contract for as-needed purchasing and installation of various playground, sports recreation equipment, amenities, tiles, and thing using a cooperative Sourcewell contract with BCI Burke. There are many projects within the within Recreation and Parks that could use this contract. It was formulated using a cooperative agreement through Sourcewell, which guarantees that we will get both the best price and the variety of equipment that we could need. There is no guarantee that we will use these on a project by project basis, and the contract is for $4 million annual. Thank you.
Thank you, Noel. Do we have an estimate of what our total need is for playground and park equipment, and how this $4 million helps to address that?
I would have to turn it over to planning, but yes.
Good morning, Daryl Port, Superintendent of Planning. The direct answer is no, we don't have an estimate of that, but just for context, we have almost 500 individual playground and play pits, just to say it that way. As just for context for everyone listening, a play pit would be kind of like a little circular area where the playground equipment may be. Some of our playgrounds have one, some have two, but in general, we have a lot of playgrounds. So currently, right now, we use four different vendors to provide playground equipment to us. So the idea of bringing on Burke would give additional capacity to us, another vendor who could produce equipment for us. So in the long term, this is really about us trying to make sure we have sufficient contractor capacity and different manufacturers, so that if we're in the point where we're doing multiple playgrounds, that if we're having lots of them manufactured, that we have extra capacity there too. So right now, again, we have four. This would enable us to have a fifth vendor on board.
So what is our total capacity with this being, so the four existing vendors, this being five, what is our total capacity for budget for playground equipment?
capacity for budget on a contractually, or you mean for what do we spend?
So this is one contractor is up for $4 million. What are the other four contractors total in terms of that spend?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I believe they're all similar numbers, but
The other contracts may have been up to $7 million annually. And historically, when we've done them, we've put in $7 million. But this one, I believe, because it was a source contract that we did it, $4 million.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to understand.
So totally, I would say you're probably with four, probably in theory. Nothing, of course, is guaranteed because it's all based upon funding. You probably have $25 million.
Thank you for that. I'm trying to understand how we're approving an allocation for funding for playground equipment that we need, but we don't have a sense of what the budget is for that spend.
So just let me make a little small comment on that. We're not approving any allocation for funding. What we're saying is we could use a purchasing authority. Allocation is when Daryl or other folks come to the board and request you to approve it for a particular project, which would typically go to the maintenance subcommittee.
Yeah, so. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that clarification, but I'm just trying to, we have this pool of funding that we could use. It's not funding, but it's resources. Right. It's spending authority. Thank you, Commissioner. It's spending authority. I'm just trying to reconcile as a commissioner that's giving the department spending authority of what is the plan of how we're going to spend it for that pool of things that we need.
Commissioner, Kathy Santo-Domingo, Assistant General Manager of Planning, Maintenance, and Construction. If I could just provide some context in terms of real funding that we have at hand. On an annual basis, via the city budget process, we have approximately $1 million that comes in specific for playgrounds. That $1 million is really used more so for maintenance, and we use that to leverage for other potential funding grant opportunities. In terms of playground projects, which our planning folks bring forward to the board for approval, it really varies for funding sources. It could be deferred maintenance monies. It could be Measure A. It could be other funding sources. It could be donation funds. So it's really no set dollar in any given year. The only set dollar that we have is the $1 million, which comes through the budget process. It's really it's really our folks through the various funding sources coming up with or cobbling up to make a project happen. We've been very fortunate with project partners. I know we've had a handful of projects go through the Parks Foundation as donation projects through the years. So it's really an as needed as it comes through and as funding becomes available. And we bring that to the board for approval.
No, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that in terms of receiving dollars to do the projects. So I appreciate that clarification. And maybe I'm not explaining myself or my question clearly, and my apologies, I'm battling a cold. I'm trying to understand, like, for example, with our pool projects, it's like I have a list of what pools need to be upgraded across the city. So I'm trying to get the same clarity in terms of our playground equipment. What is the need for playground improvement, bats and balls at various rec centers? How do we determine that? And is there a list that says these are the programs that are in need of funding? That's the question I'm trying to get an answer to.
The best answer that we have right now really goes back to our condition assessment report. The condition assessment report for all of the facilities, and it dates back to 2017, 2018. In that particular report, it's citywide. It includes all of the needs for ball fields and exterior amenities. It also includes buildings and infrastructure. I believe the number at the time, and again, this is 6-7 years old, it's about $2.3 billion of improvements. So
Kathy, I'm just saying that you're asking us for, I apologize for interrupting, but I'm familiar with that assessment and I'm familiar with the totality of the need. Is it we're asking for you're asking for approval of a contract for, what do we call it, Commissioner? For a spending authority, which we haven't identified the funding for at this point. So I'm just trying to reconcile for this particular ask for playground and sports equipment, what is the total need that we have within the park system that ties to that roughly $25 million of spending authority that we have?
Gosh, going back to Daryl's response, the total need at this point, we don't have a set estimate because it's really in terms of dollar values, we don't have that data.
Okay, so you don't have that data, then how do you know that 4 million is what you need?
In terms of prior year's expenditure and looking at the four playground manufacturers, on average, we've spent roughly about $4 to $6 million for each one of those contracts.
So perhaps maybe I can just have a request, Jimmy, and I don't know if I'm not asking my question clearly, but we have a spending authority. You guys are finding budget through the general fund or other sources to then make the improvement at those parks. But you don't know what the total need or the priority of those park playground or ball bats and ball equipment that we need. So if I say I want a spending authority of $4 million to renovate my house, that I know that my house, the cost of that is going to be roughly that $4 million. And then I'm going to find the source of funds to do that $4 million. So in this case, we're saying it's a spending authorization for $4 million that adds to the other four contracts we have that Noel mentioned was approximately $25 million. So what is the list of when we get those dollars of those playground equipments that we're going to invest? Is that hard to understand?
No. President Summerall, I think what you're asking for is a priority list of if we had the money, list from top to bottom, all of the playgrounds and sports equipment that we would like to get to, that we could utilize these contracts to be able to.
Thank you. Can we expand. Get that list?
Yes, absolutely.
And then I would also add that we also need to look at the age, you know, look at the equity piece within, you know, which parks have not gotten improvements. I mean, this is kind of just speaks to, I mean, the assessment, how often is the condition assessment report done?
So Vice President Sanchez, the department is embarking on a asset management exercise in the next couple of months where we would take all the data that we have related to all of our amenities to be able to identify, you know, span of life, when equipment was installed, all those different types of things. But in the immediate, I think we should be able to give you a list of sites that we deemed as where playgrounds need renovation. We may not have funding for it, but if we did, this is what the sites that we'd like to cover for your request.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And again, it's we're putting the cart before the horse for the commission, who's new. So you're saying we want spending authority, but you're not expressing to the commission, should we get the funding, how we're going to spend those dollars.
Stephen Hong, City Attorney's Office. I just want to make a clarification on the term spending authority as opposed to what the contract provides. The contract provides, it's not really an authority, it's sort of a contract ceiling amount. But spending authority, there is no spending authority from what I gather here, because the spending authority normally happens when staff puts together a report about a certain project, they come in and in that recommendation, they say, approve the budget, authorize the funds. That's the spending authority. But I think that in this case, for as needed contracts, they come for an approval of the contract, because then they don't have to constantly amend the contract going forward. They need to put in some sort of a top line dollar figure.
I see.
So I just wanted to make that clarification.
Appreciate that clarification, but the point that I'm making is still, I think, relevant in that we're asking for contract authority, but the commission's not clear on what is those projects. So we're getting incomplete information, I feel. And then I think it'd be helpful for the commission to understand, to Jimmy's point, what are those lists? So we have a contract, we get funding, and then there's a list that's looked at hopefully through an equity lens, through an aging lens, that we say, should we get the resources, here's how we would spend those dollars to be able to improve the parks for the benefit of our residents.
Correct.
That would be helpful for us.
I mean, in terms of a question related to this contract will allow us to have vendors at hand so we could actually expedite these projects, right? And so there's probably a list, and then we just don't have enough time or enough equipment. So that's the other thing we're also moving in.
Right. This contract.
And the need overseas. I mean, our need is so much larger. Like,
yeah.
We provide modernized every year. It's not even units, right? So,
right. I believe even Measure A, maybe it wasn't this board, it might have been just before this board came in, we came with 15 playground projects. Yeah. And those were determined based upon funding because Measure A is tied to geographic areas, 46 geographic areas. So just sheets we passed out in the past. We have like about 411 minimum playgrounds, yeah. Right? And then various types of sports yeah. equipment distributed. So it might take us a little while to get it and then put it in order.
Yeah, I think just echoing what you said was obviously the need is overwhelming and the amounts we're getting here is far outstripping by it. And as we're getting educated on it, like you said, having some idea of how we're prioritizing, have that landing plan, because otherwise, and please nobody take offense to that, it's like, well, is the money just going out to whoever's showing up and asking for money that day and like, and not putting it through a lens of equity and communities that may not be able to be communicating, you know, or as loudly with us. And so I want to make sure we're looking at the available dollars we have, the projects we need, and putting some type of runway on, you know, rack and stack them and, you know, how we start moving them through the system.
Just please keep in mind, as Kathy said, or Daryl has said in the past, even though you place a playground at the top of the list, there may not be funding available. So just, yeah. And so we all understand.
Sorry, just to indulge in, and thank you for, and we understand what you're asking for. It's the, I guess the context I'd also give here for is sort of back to the analogy about a house, right? Is we know we'll have to do roof work, we'll have to do foundation work, everyone has a home. And this is us having, making sure we have vendors on hand when that need arises. And just so, and Commissioner Hutton, I appreciate the note about sort of how this happens, but just the global context, right? We have a lot of these on-call contracts that we use that may be for asphalt repair or concrete. We may not know when those may happen, but we want to have the capacity on board. This is not similar from that, but we definitely understand Commissioner Summerall from what you just reiterated, what you're asking us for.
Yeah, and look, and I appreciate that to Commissioner Hutton's point, the need for park improvements and maintenance far out exceeds what we have budgeted and what we have even on the horizon and where potential budgeting is coming in. And we appreciate that the staff is working very hard. I would just ask for the same appreciation and indulgence with us being new commission members of really understanding when we have these types of requests that come to the forefront, that we have the context of how that spend would be, you know, allocated to the need so that we can be helpful, you know, in those efforts as we, look to prioritize some of these capital improvement projects so that we can move them along as quickly as possible. Thank you.
I also see this as an item for our facility repair task force, right? As we kind of move forward, one of the issues we may deal with.
And just on that point, maybe Commissioner Sanchez, and again, apologies to, like you noted, that can be something also too, to this report that we'll prepare that we can bring through the task force fashion just to sort of talk about facility repair and maintenance, because that's essentially what it's for. That's a great suggestion.
Okay. Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you, Daryl. Next item, 182.
Good morning, commissioners, RAP staff, and members of the general public. My name is David Lee, Planning and ASIC Construction Branch, and I'm here to present board report number 23-182. This board report approves the scope of work and the total budget of the Fairfax Senior Citizens Center Path of Travel Improvements Project, as described in the summary of this report. And this report authorizes the Department of Recreation and Parks staff to commit from the following fund and work order numbers, a maximum of $112,856.19 in park fees for the proposed project, and authorizes the RAF chief accounting employee to transfer $3,155 in Quimby fees to the Fairfax Senior Citizens Center account, number 89460K-FX. And approves the allocation of $26,345.08 in Quimby fees from the Fairfax Senior Citizen Center account to the proposed project. Fairfax Senior Citizen Center is located at 7929 Melrose Avenue in the Fairfax Village area of the city. This 0.38-acre facility provides a variety of programs and activities for seniors and has a large auditorium for community meetings.
The proposed project scope includes demolition of existing asphaltic pedestrian path in the parking lot, demolition of existing stair and landing from public sidewalk, construction of an Americans with Disabilities Act or ADA compliant ramp from the public right of way along the rear of the facility. Upon approval of this report, $112,856.19 in park fees can be committed to the proposed project. There is currently $23,190.08 available in the Fairfax Senior Citizens Center account. Upon approval of this report, $3,155 in Quimby fees can be transferred from Quimby account 89460K-00 to Fairfax Senior Citizen Center account number 89460K-FX, and a total of $26,345.08 in Quimby fees can be allocated from the Fairfax Senior Citizen Center account to the proposed project. The total funding available for the project is $139,201.27, which is the total budget inclusive of the budget contingency amount set forth below. This report includes an overall timeline of the project, with the project anticipated to begin construction in July 2024 and post-construction taking place from October 2024 to April 2025. This concludes my report. Thank you. I'm here to help answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I don't have any questions. Are there questions? No, commissioners? Fantastic. Thank you for your detailed report.
Thank you.
Next item, 83.
Good morning, commissioners. Megan Luera, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction Branch. Before I start on Board Report 23183, I would like to make a correction to Attachment 1. Page 5 of Attachment 1 in the box labeled volleyball court. We just need to clarify that dimension. So please delete 29 feet by 6 inches and replace with 29.5 feet. Clear? Great. All right. So Board Report 23-183 requests the board approve and adopt the park fee recreation policy as shown in Attachment 1, as well as the related standard covenant agreements and operation and maintenance agreements as shown in Attachments 2 through 5. On September 7, 2016, the Los Angeles City Council approved the new park dedication and fee update ordinance, which is numbered 184,505, with an effective date of January 11, 2017. The park fee ordinance implemented a new development impact fee that requires all new residential dwelling units to dedicate land or pay an in-lieu fee or provide a combination of land dedication and fee payment. So just for clarification and background information, RAP charges two different fees. We have a subdivision fee, which is also known as a Quimby fee, that is charged for residential projects with a tract or parcel map. And then there is also a non-subdivision fee that is charged for residential projects with no associated tract or parcel map. In addition to a number of exemptions listed in the Los Angeles Municipal Code, there are opportunities for developers to apply for recreation credit to reduce the overall fees that are owed. There are four types of recreational credit that a developer can apply for. One, they can dedicate land to RAP for park and recreational purposes. Two, they can make improvements to dedicated parkland. Three, they can provide privately owned and privately accessible recreational amenities. And four, they can provide privately owned, publicly accessible recreational amenities. Staff is recommending the adoption of a recreation credit policy in order to establish guidelines and requirements for areas applying for recreation credit under LAMC 1233H2, so specifically referring to options 3 or 4 of what I previously outlined. This is in order to make it clear what privately owned spaces are insufficient for recreation credit. RAP currently does not have a policy regarding recreation credits and has previously deferred to the Los Angeles Municipal Code for guidance and implementation. Since the revised park fee ordinance became effective, RAP has processed 2 recreation credit requests. And although the areas were granted credit and deemed code compliant, the areas were ultimately underwhelming and likely do not actually reduce the impact on the existing park system. RAP has also received complaints from developers that the provisions of the LAMC lack specificity and clear guidance regarding the types of amenities and spaces that are eligible for recreation credit. RAP staff has drafted the policy before you today in an attempt to address concerns from the development community, as well as increase transparency regarding the entire recreation credit process. The new recreation credit policy details specific requirements that residential housing projects must include if they want to be considered for rec credit. These include a minimum of one active and two passive amenities for outdoor recreation areas, and a minimum of one active and one passive amenity for indoor recreation areas. A detailed list of potential active and passive amenities is included in the policy. And the policy also includes other requirements for the proposed area, such as minimum square footage, unencumbered open space, that permanent amenities cannot be removed, and adequate amounts of grass, shade, and landscaping. The adoption of this policy and standard agreements will hopefully expedite the processing of recreation credit applications and will cut down the time that staff needs to spend negotiating with the developers. And this concludes my report.
Thank you very much for that report. Just a couple of quick questions, and I'm not sure, I couldn't find it in the report. I thought I put in the, so if the, I understand that the, in the credits could be dedication of recreation on site with the property. The, if they're improving a park, they don't have the site, the land area to do it on site, and they wanted to do a credit and improve a park. Is there a radius to which that park needs to be located to the development? I didn't see it in the report. I was just curious.
So just to clarify again, this report only addresses options 3 and 4 in terms of credit. It doesn't address making improvements to dedicated parkland. But yes, and in the scenario that a developer did want to make improvements to dedicated parkland, it would have to be within 2, 5, or 10 miles, depending on the park type that they are proposing to improve.
Thank you.
And there is a separate process for that, which we could talk about if you want.
No.
I didn't address here.
That's probably why I didn't find it in the report, because it wasn't addressed here, but I was just curious. The other is just to clarify. So this was input from the developers themselves. I thought from your presentation that there was some engagement or conversation with the development community in terms of developing this credit policy, or was it just Rec and Park staff?
It was developed by Rec and Park staff. We basically took the comments that we have heard from the development community in processing other applications and developed a policy based on the feedback, which was primarily that there was no guidelines or specificity, and it seemed very vague. So we tried to really hone in on creating very specific guidelines.
So I'm just curious, before our approval, have these, and it's probably not because we have to approve them first. I just oftentimes, and I appreciate taking feedback from previous applications, but with RAP staff developing this policy, is it going to be implementable by the developers? So it's almost like, do they get their feedback before we approve the policy to make sure that they can actually achieve the policy, as opposed to having a policy that the developers can't meet? That feedback loop. Do you see my question?
Sorry, put it delicately. I'm not sure that any draft policy that RAP staff would develop would be considered feasible by the development community. We have a lot of challenges sometimes with dealing with them, and some are more open to conversations than others. We're going to take the approach with this policy that we did with the code, where we take the policy, we're going to try and implement it a couple of times and figure out where the strong points and the weak points are, then revise accordingly. Because if it's fundamentally not a feasible policy, then we understand that that's not a good position for us to have. But it was like the code. We thought it was going to work great, and then we did it a couple times, and we're like, ooh, okay, yeah, we see where the problem areas are. So I think we're going to try and implement and then revise accordingly.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
And from what I remember from reading the Quimby report that was given to us a couple of meetings ago, this policy is because more often than not, the things that have been developed under 3 and 4, you go see them, are like, wait, this is not right. I mean, so because the guidelines are not clear, right? So they'll do the minimum based on what they perceive versus what we believe should be accessible for folks in that region, right?
That's correct. So for clarification, we've only done 2 rec credit applications. One project has been constructed. It's there. It's live. We have seen it. We did a site inspection before we issued clearance for CVO to ensure that they were, you know, in compliance with the covenant and the contract. And yes, it was in fact underwhelming. The other project that we gave credit for was a vesting tenant of TrackPack, significant development in Chinatown. That project has not yet been constructed. So we haven't seen the, like, the fruits of their labor and that come into actuality. So I think also seeing that in the flesh will help better guide this policy. But we've got the impression that the previous board may not have been ultimately satisfied with the items that were granted credit under, you know, just what the code allowed.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Daryl again, Daryl Port, Superintendent of Planning. I just want to take the opportunity to just to chime in to I think the point Commissioner Sanchez was making is, and Megan made before, is we did want to roll this policy out because we had heard back the feedback, right? As Megan noted, that we didn't have guidelines. So we're kind of doing a little back and forth. We'll produce guidelines because, again, we've only done two under the current code. We did a lot under the previous code. So we do have a lot of kind of muscle memory of what we've heard back and forth reflexively from that doesn't work. But again, hopefully now that we've produced guidelines, if the board approves them today, then we can answer the thing they always said that was holding the back, which is no guidelines. And going forward from there, because the Chinatown project that Megan brought up, we had a lot of conversation, almost 3 years worth of conversation with them on a very small area. And we feel like some of that could have been cut off with the past had we had firm guidelines we could just continuously point to. So we think this would be a great starting point for those conversations with the developers who choose to engage with us, because ultimately it's their choice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Daryl, for that assist, but Megan answered the question quite clearly. I appreciate that though. Any other question? All right, thank you. Seeing none, that I think concludes all of our report. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
May I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, would you call the roll? Take the vote.
We'll do, Madam President.
Call the roll.
We have a motion and a second to approve the board reports that were just presented today. Commissioner Hudson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Well, thank you. Thank you to the staff members for your indulgence in our questions and the responses back. We appreciate your hard work in keeping our parks beautiful, safe, and accessible to the community. So with that, the next item on the agenda is any neighborhood council comments?
I have not received any such requests, Madam President.
Thank you, Takesha. Any commission task force updates?
The only thing is the last meeting, we discussed two projects. One was the City of LA Safe Clean Water Program. We're going to be implementing a project at the Wilmington site. But this part of the conversation is these may be sites in the future, right? So how do we kind of make sure? It's because it's funded by Measure W that gives us new park space, right? Or modernizing current park space, but at the same, and it allows us to save water that, you know, for future use. But on the same token is how we make sure and we plan out so that we, the impact of parks, that it might lead to closure of a park for up to 2 years, right? You know? And then how do we make sure that those services move to other parks in the region? We don't lose programming or partnerships like with AOSO and other, or Little Leagues. The other thing was a conversation related to the Alley River Ecosystem Restoration Project. It's been a long plan that the city's been working on. There's been some funding allocated. It's going to come to the board for the beginning of a project. I think about $50 million. And so we discussed that project, and then eventually some of those decisions will be coming to the board here.
Thank you for that update. Next item. So are there any comments from the commissioners on items that we'd like to bring back for a report or an update from management other than the playground list? Anything else? Okay, hearing none, I think that adjourns our meeting. Our next meeting, Takesha, is?
At the Michelle and Barack Obama Sports Complex at Rancho Cienega Park.
No more. Okay. See you all there. Thank you so much. Enjoy the day.
Well, thank you.